All right, so there's a lady that goes shopping for some clothes, and she takes along her five-year-old daughter. So mom and the daughter are in the fitting room, and mom is trying on all these clothes, and after every outfit, the little girl tells her mom, "Mommy, you look beautiful." And she puts on another outfit. "Mommy, you look beautiful." And pretty soon, from the fitting room next door, a voice comes and says, "Excuse me, can I borrow your daughter for a moment, please?" We have this need for affirmation, right? And not just the kind of affirmation that says you look good in that dress, but affirmation of who we really are, deep down inside. We all carry that same kind of need. So today, we're going to be looking at a scripture that of an experience that Jesus had where he received from his Father in heaven this kind of deep affirmation. And it's when Jesus was baptized. And so in Mark's gospel, and that's where we're going to be reading it from, he doesn't waste a lot of time. So there's no birth story of Jesus. If you look at Mark's gospel, it's the shortest of all of them. And if you read it, you're like, oh, that's why. Because he condenses kind of the whole story of Jesus. So by verse 9 in Mark's gospel, Jesus is already 30 years old, ready to start his public ministry, okay? And, you know, 9 verses into Luke, like, we don't even know Jesus at all, right? It's a much slower story. So Mark doesn't waste any time. And by verse 9, Jesus is going to John the Baptist to get baptized. And you might think, well, wait a minute, John the Baptist, if you read through what he did, he was baptizing people a baptism of repentance, okay? So these people were turning away from their sin, turning back toward God, and John the Baptist was baptizing them at that time. So if you think through this kind of, like, well, we know Jesus didn't sin, so how is it that Jesus needed to be baptized? Was he repenting from something? And the answer is, well, no. Jesus was not receiving a baptism of repentance like everyone else, but when he was baptized, he received something totally different. And that's what we're going to be reading today, this deep affirmation and encouragement from God the Father. So as we read from Mark chapter 1, I want you to be looking out for that, okay? This is from Mark 1, starting in verse 4. And before we read it, we'll pray. We do, Lord, come to you humbly today. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would help these words of yours to hit us in just the right place in our heart, and that you would work on each one of us through this and remind us, Lord, of the love you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Jesus is baptized. What exactly is going on here in Jesus' baptism? So John the Baptist arrives on the public scene. Jesus takes that as his cue to go out to John the Baptist and begin his own public ministry. And this is where God the Father shows his approval of Jesus. God the Father shows up in a beautiful picture of affirmation right there as Jesus is baptized. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. After this declaration, there's no doubt left that Jesus is affirmed by the Father, has the Father's approval in what he will be doing. And the Father is well pleased with Jesus. If you think about the plan that the Father has had since the beginning of time for Jesus to come and redeem the world, this is a major step forward in that redemptive work, restoring creation back to the way God had designed it. So the Father is pleased to see his will taking this step, to see Jesus making the decision to start his public ministry. And then as we think about Jesus himself, this encouraging moment sets Jesus up with what he's going to need to make it through the ministry that he will have ahead of him. This audible confirmation from the Father that Jesus was on the right track was the foundation that he needed to move forward in his ministry. If you read through the rest of the Gospels, you find that a few things Jesus did went really, really well, and a lot of people just fell right into line, and they followed Jesus, and they loved him, and things were great. But then many times, it didn't quite happen like that. And of course, we know the end of Jesus' life, the entire Jewish religious elite turned against him and put him to death. So Jesus faced some very difficult times as he was walking the earth. He regularly went away from everyone to reconnect with his Father, to sort of receive again this kind of confirmation and encouragement from God. But I imagine as Jesus is struggling through the most difficult days, I imagine that he hears these words reverberating, echoing in his heart. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And those words must have carried him through many a difficult day. So this is great news for Jesus, right? He's been encouraged in a way that is profound and deep and heavy. But what does it mean for us? Does it reach all the way to you and me? How does this apply to my life today? And the verses that Mac read for us from Romans remind us that in our own baptisms, we are connected to Jesus. So as we go down into the water, we die with Jesus, and as we're raised up out of the water, we are connected with Jesus in his resurrection, the victory over sin and death. That's our connection to Jesus is in baptism. So it's not too much of a stretch then. If you think about it, so God, when he looks at us, because we have been made one with Jesus in baptism, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our faults and our struggles, he doesn't see our failures, he doesn't see our sin, he sees Jesus, because we've been connected through baptism with Jesus, right? God sees Jesus when he looks at us, his perfect, pleasing Son. So I don't think that it's much of a stretch for us to say that these very words that God gives to his Son Jesus at his baptism are words that he also speaks to us. Imagine that. Imagine if you actually heard God saying to you, "You are my son, my daughter, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." In fact, I want you to think through that. Put your name in there, okay? So let's start with your name. So I would say Walter. So you can put your name in there. Walter, you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. you are my daughter. With you, the beloved, with you I am well pleased. I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle with the idea that God is pleased with me. I can understand the love. We certainly talk about the love a lot, but to think that God is actually pleased with me. I come up at the end of the day, I haven't done this right, I haven't done that right, I said some things I really shouldn't have said, and then I should have said some things and I didn't say at all. And at the end of the day, I have a whole list of things I'm quite sure that God is displeased about, that I've done or left undone. Well, and every once in a while, I feel like, I've had a day where I can actually, at the end of the day, think, well, maybe God is pleased with me. But most of the time, I have a hard time thinking that God would be pleased with me. But it's true, God is pleased with me. Because he loves me in such a way that it doesn't matter how my day went, God's love for me hasn't changed. It doesn't matter how great I woke up or how terrible things were during the day, it doesn't matter. There's nothing I can do to make God love me more. And there's nothing I can do to make God love me any less than he does. His love is a constant. Everything else might be changing in my life. I have my ups and my downs, but God's love is constant. Nothing I can do to make him love me more or less. So imagine if you were to humbly receive these words from God every day, to wake up every morning and repeat that to yourself. That's actually a pretty good idea if you're looking for a New Year's resolution. If you've already failed on your other New Year's resolutions, you're looking for something else, this is pretty simple. Wake up every morning and say, or repeat God's words to you. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Imagine the confidence that would give you in your day-to-day dealings as you follow Jesus, you carry out this good news that he came to proclaim. Imagine the confidence that would give you. God, you're reminding yourself every day, God is right here with me. I am God's beloved. Imagine how it might help you through the difficult times if you could remember that God is pleased with you. Remembering that you're God's beloved when, despite your best efforts, a really important relationship in your life has fallen apart. But you know that you are God's beloved. Or recalling that God is truly pleased with you when you've just made the biggest, costliest mistake in your whole career. God is still pleased with you. Or upon a tough diagnosis for you or your family, remembering that as God's beloved, you are not alone walking through this. God is with you. Now, it's easy to receive these words from God and turn it into arrogance and be like, yeah, I'm God's beloved. There's no room for arrogance if you read the rest of the New Testament. As we walk with Jesus, he's the perfect example of humility. There's no room for that kind of arrogance. But we receive this with humility. And it's not, this is great news, it's not just a one-time deal. Like, Jesus heard this when he was baptized, and it happened at one moment in time. But these words were true through the whole course of his ministry. Just, on that first day of public ministry, all the way to the very last day of his living on this earth, these words were true between God the Father and Jesus. The same is true for us. God's declaration to us on our day of baptism, our becoming one with Jesus, it doesn't stop. So it's God's declaration to you on your very best day, and the same declaration on your very worst day. Again, it's completely constant. That's good news. I mean, if we're talking about the gospel, the good news of Jesus, this is good news to remember that God loves us constantly and is pleased with us. Let's not forget that. So, as Jesus was baptized on this day, there was a sign. The Spirit came down on him like a dove, right? And you've probably seen pictures of that. Maybe that's what's on the screen. So, I don't really see a dove there, though. It's a little.
You stare at it long enough.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, it's there. So now everybody can just forget the rest of the sermon. You just stare at the screen. No, the Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove, a symbol of gentleness and peace. Now this was in contrast to John the Baptist's message. Now, he came in a line of among the Old Testament prophets. And his was, you need to repent because things are serious. And the blade is going to be taken to the roots, and there's trouble coming if you don't repent. And so it was sort of a, you do this or else kind of a message. But Jesus' ministry starts with a very different tone to it, a tone of gentleness and peace. God the Father does not tell Jesus, now's the time, you'd better do this and do it right or else. That's not the message that God had for Jesus. He just reminded him of his love and that he's pleased with him. Before Jesus did anything publicly, God was pleased with him. And when we receive the same words, these words of gentleness and love from God, then we're prepared in the same way Jesus was. So, I mean, y'all know this already, but like if you look at God as a big bully who's ready to kick you to the curb at the first disobedience, then when you face trials and temptations, you're not likely to be successful. But if you face those trials and temptations knowing that God is pleased with you, that he loves you, then it's a whole different ballgame. And you can succeed against those temptations. I read a story about a little girl named Mary. Mary lived back in the 1950s and had a cleft palate. And so the deformation in her nose and her mouth was something that obviously made her different from the other children, and she grew to hate the fact that she was different. She couldn't stand it. And the, you know, children, as children are, would make fun of her and would be mean to her, and she just hated the fact that she was different. One bright spot in her life was one of her teachers, Mrs. Leonard. Mrs. Leonard was loving toward her, and she had this connection with Mrs. Leonard. Well, time came for their hearing test, and back in the 50s, apparently it was fairly low-tech hearing test, and one of the other problems that Mary had was she had lost hearing in one of her ears, and she didn't want anything else to make her different from the other kids, and so she had a plan together. She had done this for many years already, a plan of how to cheat on the hearing test. So the children were asked to come up to one side of the classroom, and the teacher is over here, and the teacher would whisper. This is what they called the whisper test. She would whisper a phrase, and the child would then have to repeat the phrase. If they heard it and repeated it correctly, then they passed the hearing test. Well, it came Mary's turn, and she came up, and she turned her bad ear, as she was told to, toward the teacher, and she pretended to cover her other ear, but she was really kind of cupping it so she could hear what the teacher said. And she'd done this before, so she knew the kinds of things that teachers would say, right? The sky is blue, or what color are your shoes? So she was ready and thought she'd be able to handle this pretty well. But what she found was the words that Mrs. Leonard shared that day with her in the whisper changed her life forever. And Mrs. Leonard said to her that day, "I wish you were my little girl." And I don't know the rest of the story. I don't have, like, what happened to Mary after that. But as the story goes, it changed her life. This little piece of affirmation that she got from her teacher that day. And essentially, that's what God is saying to us. Not that he wishes, but that we are his. That's what God is saying to us today. So take these words of God to heart. Let them take root in your heart. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. May you be transformed from the inside out by these same words that set Jesus on his amazing journey. And this love that Jesus